I can't believe I'm saying that. But
fuck you know, I'm going to cancel you, mate.
I'm telling you.
Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. My name's James. Welcome to another Planet FPL Clash of the Correspondents. And today we're looking forward to an encounter that will interest many an FPL manager going into game week 12. Let me first introduce you to our Newcastle United correspondent, Simon Bibby. How are you, Si?
Oh, I just had a bit of a stinker of a game week, but apart from that, all good.
Okay. You drew at Man United. It's not that bad, mate.
I'm talking about me.
I know what you're talking about. No one's bothered, mate. And let me introduce you to our Everton correspondent, Sean Norton. How are you, Sean?
I'm all good, thanks, Tim.
Good man. So he's got beat at Tottenham and he's had a good week, mate. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Sorry, what are Newcastle at the moment, mate? Are they a team that's only won three games? Or are they a team that's only lost once in the last minute at Liverpool? What are you?
We are a European chasing team in a league that's not as good as everyone thought it was a couple of years ago, I'd say. Like, I actually think the standard of this league, it's not taken us as much to get to where we are, and I think we can maintain it, and we've got injuries, and we really haven't, like, even flashed the cash yet. So, like, I'm very happy with where we are right now, and I can see us kicking on from here, really.
Elaborate on the comment you said about the league's not as strong as you thought or people think.
I mean, you look at who's above us in the table. It's kind of who you'd expect to be above us in the table. Barring, I think Liverpool are slightly behind. I think all of the contenders that we talked about for, like, those Europa Conference League spots, I haven't seen any, to be honest, that I'm, like, particularly fearful of. I think West Ham look like they've kind of plateaued a bit. I know they brought in some good players and maybe they haven't quite gelled yet, but they're the one that I see really competing for a Europa Conference spot. And I'm very confident, like, ahead of what I think will be another busy transfer window in mid-season, that European Conference League spot looks nailed on. And I think as soon as we get European football, you'll start to see that player pool of people that we can go after open up. So I think the drop off from not being in Europe to being in a lesser European competition is pretty considerate. So I think, yeah, very confident.
It's worth saying that Europa Conference spot does go to the League Cup winners in the first instance. Obviously, if it's won by a team that's already qualified for Europe, it obviously drips down to the league.
Winning the League Cup then, aren't we?
I'm guessing your expectation is to finish seventh then, Si, as the best of the non-big six, if you will. But wouldn't that have been the expectation in pre-season anyway?
Hard to say. I think eighth. I think the best of the rest would have been a decent season this year, given the fact that we struggled to get the volume of players and the volume of squad turnover that we wanted. I think the business we did was, as you can tell by the results we've had, has been proof's been in the pudding. Defensively, we're the best defensive team in the league at the moment. And you can't say we haven't played a lot of the best teams, because we have. But I think offensively, few injuries. And at the moment, as I'm sure we'll talk about, it looks like our running until the World Cup is going to be basically the squad that we've got now, which is a slight concern.
Okay. Sean, how do you see Newcastle, mate? Do you see them as a team that should be pushing the top six this season specifically?
No, I wouldn't say that they should be. I think they will. I think they'll push Man U and push the top six, but I think they'll definitely finish at least seventh.
Yeah, I think below eighth would arguably be a bit of a disappointment this season. So I think the bookies probably would have had you and West Ham as probably favourites to finish seventh. And it's worth saying, despite the starts between the two clubs, there's only 4 points behind you between the two teams. And I think probably Brighton just be below that rather than expecting a Palace or a Villa to push on, for example. Was there any hope, Sean, that your team would push on to top half this year? Or is this more of the same of what we expected based on last season's performance?
Yeah, the I think the only thing for us this season is to just sort of get a bit of stability back in the club, sort of get competitive again and stay up.
But you've done that, really, haven't you? I mean, I know you've lost the last two to Tottenham and Manchester United, but they're almost bonus points games, if you will. You lost the first two. You were a bit unlucky at Villa. You lost at home to Chelsea. You've had that run of six games in the middle that you were unbeaten. Briefly, for a while, you yourselves had the best defensive record. It's okay as a start, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully we'll start getting better. I mean, we haven't had too many games with the new sort of midfield three playing together. So hopefully the more games they play, the better they'll get. I think there's, a little bit of lack of understanding at times in games, which leaves us, exposed. But I'm hopeful that that will come. James Garner has started getting game time now, so he'll add a bit of depth to the midfield, and we've still got the likes of Doucouré that can be involved. And he was a first team starter last season, wasn't he? He was nailed on to play, whereas now his only chance is coming off the bench really and impressing that way. So I think we've only got five games, haven't we, till the window opens again. So I think a lot will depend on how we do over the next five games. I'm not really expecting much against Newcastle, but the four after that are good opportunities to get some wins. And then the market opens and hopefully we'll strengthen in the forward areas.
How do you see Everton, Si?
I actually think Lampard's done a pretty good job. If you think you look at the start of the narrative at the start of the season, a lot of people, I think, were putting Gerrard ahead of him in terms of like that kind of top level ex-player that's gone into management. And I think last season he found a formula, not necessarily to win, but to get results. And it feels like a bit of a continuation of that. He's been quite strong in the players that he wants to play. And you always got to commend that when a manager decides, like, some of the bigger name players, like you said, like Doucouré, not playing at the moment. I'm a weird Newcastle fan. There's like a weird beef between Newcastle and Everton that. I don't know if it's just a Twitter thing. It's weird. Like I've never really had an issue with Everton. It's the other side of Merseyside that I dislike more. But that may be because I've got family members that support Liverpool. But I think they're doing pretty good. It's weird to think that, like when we were saying, like the last time we did this Clash of the Correspondents, like a lot, so much has changed in the last two or three years since I spoke with Sean on this platform. But I don't know, like, should Everton be happy with 14th where they are? Like, as an outsider, it kind of feels like that might be a good season for you, but like, given the size of the club, also not good enough. It's a strange one.
Yeah, I think 14th for Everton this year would be acceptable based on what happened last season. Obviously, is it acceptable for Everton Football Club to finish 14th? No, of course not. Everton Football Club should be in the top half based on the size of the club. But I think we know the reasoning, some of the mismanagement on and off the pitch over the last, six, 7 years or so has led to this position. The squad needs management and it's starting to get it. I think I just made a touch on Si's comment. Sean, is there a needle between the two clubs?
Oh, yeah, there definitely is. But like Si says, I think it's a Twitter thing.
Is it a jealousy thing because of the money?
Well, yeah, I think it all just sort of stems from these just silly debates that you see on Twitter about, who's the biggest club. And I remember seeing it a few years back about Everton Tottenham. It always used to get thrown in, back before sort of Pochettino come along. And now it's like Everton, Newcastle and West Ham. And obviously a lot of Newcastle fans sort of jump in and they'll have a go at Everton. And then Evertonians get the backs up because obviously, historically, Everton have won things, even though it was a long time ago. Whereas, Newcastle obviously haven't got like a long,
I mean, everyone thinks too, it's just even longer ago, mate.
I hate it.
I think it just like reeks of like small dick mentality that fans would beef about that. It's like, it's cringeworthy. Like, why would you want to go. And the same thing with like Villa fans as well. Like, it's like, just we, Everton should be aiming higher than that. Maybe they haven't got the finances to do that. Like, we should definitely be. And it's just like trying to leave all that stuff behind and go after, like, we should be hunting down like the fans of the big teams, really. And I'm looking forward to hopefully.
Well, I guess it's interesting. I've not really thought about it before, but I guess it probably stems from the two clubs yourselves, probably Villa, Leeds. I mean, West Ham's emerging now with the size of the stadium. Probably all think they've got the right to be the best of the rest and the team that breaks into the top six. That's probably where it comes from. Even if the two clubs, in your cases, Ty and Sean, are in obviously very different positions at the moment. Si, you obviously mentioned the pod we did together, the three of us, a couple of years ago. Back then, Everton had started the season very well under Carlo Ancelotti, and you had Steve Bruce in charge. Reflecting on what we coming towards a year of Eddie Howe, I mean, how good a job has he done?
Fantastic. I have this weird obsession as a Newcastle fan of like looking at goal difference on the league table. And like, it's always in the minus, always. And like, we're plus eight. We've lost one game this season, like, but we're plus eight, and like, we've got the best defensive record in the league. It's mad. Like, even like, I think most, you can talk about like, yeah, we've only won three games, but like, to have that base to build from, and the way that he's got the team playing and pressing, and all, if you look at all the statistics and charts and like where we are in terms of like placement for like ball recoveries, chances created, XG, but all of that stuff is nuts. And with the, it's essentially pretty much, apart from Bruno G, who is, I'm going to put it on paper, pretty much nailed on as one of the top three or four midfielders in the league, would get into pretty much any team, even Man City. I would say get into Man City team. Take him out. Defence, still got Shaw in there. You know, we've replaced the goalkeeper. Obviously, Botman is like, he's going to be an immense player like going forward. Like, 22 years old, and the way that he's like slotted into this team, and like some of the ball distribution skills that he's got for a player of his height, fantastic. But really, I think it all stems from like Eddie Howe and players buying into the culture and the system. And yeah, couldn't be happier. Like, I think it's just going to be a case of, we'll get to the point, like, have we won a trophy with him, with the squad that we've been able to build? But for the moment, I don't think you could poll any Newcastle fan and say they're not happy with the fact that Howe's our manager.
I don't want to talk about the speed of kind of success, because we've been over it a number of times before. Would you have any concerns if England bomb at the World Cup and they came knocking for him?
Oh, he wouldn't take that job.
Well, no, I think he'd be mad, but do you think he'd consider it? It's still a big pull, isn't it?
I mean, he'd consider it, because it's a sort of due diligence, and like, but he's a diligent manager, and he would no doubt probably have a conversation, and he'd like the fact that he'd have a conversation, but he's not leaving this job. No. You look at the way that he's, how long he took out of the game, and the, you know, and by all accounts, like, he didn't put himself in line for other jobs. He like waited until the job came up, and he even accepted the fact that he wasn't first choice. You know, Unai Emery, good evening, was supposed to be our manager, and like, he was, he had the personality and the, you know, the manageable ego to put that aside and say, no, I think I can take this job on, even though I'm not first choice. Now, he's not. He will be England manager one day, because if you look at what he's been able to do with an existing squad, that's the type of mentality. And I've always said this about England teams. It's like, why they don't try and play like they do in the Premier League. Like, they would blow 95% of international teams away if they didn't just fall into this trap of playing like international football.
Sean, what about Frank? Could he get offered the job for England?
I wouldn't have thought so. Don't think so.
How do you think he's doing?
Yeah, he's doing all right. I think he's got a much harder job. I've said this before, he's got a much harder job than people give him credit for. And I think he's going about it in the right way. I mean, you know, from the times we recorded last season, I had very little confidence that we were gonna stay up. And you know, the fans played a massive part in keeping us up. But, you know, Frank did sort of change his approach towards the latter half of this, you know, the campaign for the last sort of six or seven games. And it you know, and it worked out. And he's done it. He's done the right thing this season. You know, the priority had to be the defence. As much as we all love seeing players score goals, defensively we were a mess for most of last season. Far too easy to score against. And you know, you look at the results this season. And I know we, you know, obviously we got beat by Spurs, but I know Tottenham are one of the best teams in the league from set pieces, and we never felt like we were going to concede from a set piece against Tottenham. And considering how dangerous you are, that sort of reinforced the improvement that we've seen this season. I think we've only conceded one set piece goal so far, which in this league, you know, that's good going. So we are seeing signs of improvement. It's just because there's so much work to do. There's always going to be things that you can pick on and say, well, you know, that still needs improving and that still needs improving, you know, and particularly offensively. But I think that's going to come with players. We need better players in the squad.
Do you think that defensive improvement has come about because of the personnel and the experience of Connor Cody and James Tarkowski, or do you put that on the manager?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both. You know, the manager and the coaching team have done good work with them, but I think Frank's been quick to spot that there was flaws in some of the characters of the players. You know, I would point to the likes of, you know, Michael Keane, Andre Gomez, Alan. There's players there that, you know, noticeably, Michael Keane's just a confidence player, and far too easily the confidence would just used to drain out of him. And, you know, on his day, he was a very good centre-half, but far too often, he was just an absolute, like, danger zone. You know, he scored a few own goals last season. He made several mistakes, and we had Coleman making mistakes. We had Mason Holgate making mistakes.
Is it Lampard making these signings, or have you got like a director of football? Because like those two centre backs are like really, really like solid and like really good signings. And they're sort of signings that you'd think like a football player like Lampard would make. I don't know. Is he making those, or have you got someone upstairs calling the shots still?
Yeah, well, we've got a director of football, and you know, the guy from Wolves, or used to be at Wolves, and there's a more joined up approach now. But you know, Moshiri's not getting involved and tinkering, but whether that's because he's not interested anymore and he wants to sell us, no one's really quite sure about. Well, I'm certainly not. Because he, up until, you know, this summer just gone, he's always interfered heavily. But we haven't had much money to spend because of, you know, the profits and sustainability rules. So we can't repeat the mistakes of the past anyway, even if we wanted to. So there's definitely more joined up thinking going on. There's no noises coming out that we're signing anybody that Lampard doesn't want. But the Neil Mopay and the Dwight McNeil signings, I personally find a little bit puzzling. As much as we needed to thicken out the squad, I just don't think they've got the attributes that we need. I mean, Mopay's gone from a team that plays possession-based football and he's got support up top to playing a counter-attacking style where when he's in the team, he's on his own up front. And I thought it clearly doesn't suit him.
Yeah, it felt to me on Saturday he might as well have had Rondon there.
Yeah, for all the use.
Actually, but, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So I don't quite get that.
And we'll have no Rondon slander on this podcast.
Go on, Si. Tell Sean how good Solomon Rondon is.
I can tell you how good he was 3 years ago before he went to China.
To retire.
You got the discount version, unfortunately, Sean. Sean, what system do you expect to play at Newcastle?
Yeah, I think it'll be 4-3-3 again.
So you think it'll change? Because obviously it was a back 3/5 at Tottenham at the weekend.
Well, it was kind of. I'm not too sure. It sort of. It ended up. We sort of got pushed back, didn't we? And didn't have a lot of the ball. But we'll play 4-3-3 again and try to. I was quite impressed with the way we seemed to have a decent balance between. You know, we weren't all men behind the ball and just trying to hold on for our lives. Obviously, we had problems getting out at times, but, you know, we did, particularly in the first half, the team did push up. obviously with last season's 5-0 defeat firmly in my mind. Any time they got anywhere near the halfway line, I was panicking. But I thought the structure of the team was good, and it has been all season, in all fairness. Just individual mistakes are costing us again. The last, you know, the game against United, you know, the game against yourselves. Obviously, it was 0-0 until Jordan spilled that ball, and that was a mistake coming off the back of the goal that Ronaldo scored, where I don't get why he come flying out.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, he didn't need to. He made Ronaldo's decision easy.
Yeah.
Made Kane's decision easy at the weekend, didn't he?
Yes, true.
Well, yeah.
I shan't elaborate on that anymore.
Let's just say if Callum Wilson if Kane was in that Newcastle team and got fouled like he did at Old Trafford, let's just say we might have won that game.
Do you believe, Sire, that you are intentionally not getting decisions because of a conspiracy amongst the Premier League?
I may or may not have started that rumor on Twitter.
It definitely wasn't you, mate. But
I just think we're not seen as that big top six club yet. Those decisions will come our way eventually. They have to. But there's been maybe 8 this season VAR decisions that have just been like, how and why? And the general public consensus and ex-pundits and all of that stuff has been like, the decision should have gone with us and hasn't. So that's 6 of our draws that, you know, potentially could have been a couple of wins. And then the Liverpool game.
And I do agree that in terms of if you list every decision, I think you've been on the wrong end of quite a few.
Yeah, I'd say more than the average.
The idea that some have suggested that you can't get VAR decisions, I think that's Trippier's red card against Man City, for example. That some can go in your favour, certainly. Mm-hmm. Do you look at this fixture, Si, against Everton, and does it look like now that it's got to be a game that has to be won? Is the football club in that mentality now? It's, right, Everton, I've got to win.
No. I think we're just enjoying our football at the moment, and we want to win every game. And if we draw, be disappointing, but carry on to the next one. I think it's interesting what Sean said about them lining up 4-3-3. If it is a genuine 4-3-3, we could spank them this weekend. If they try and match up with us, I think we've got better players, 1-11, including the goalkeeper. I don't know if you want to get into that or not. But it would be interesting if it is a genuine 4-3-3, or I don't know. I haven't seen enough of Everton away to know whether that's more of a like 4-5-1, like out of possession stuff. But
I think I've been heavily influenced by, you'd referenced the 5-0 last year, Sean, where Lampard came out afterwards and said that he really wanted to play a back three, but didn't have the players at his disposal. So when your team drops at the weekend, it looked like a back four, but it was quite obvious quite quickly that Dwight McNeil was going to play left wing back and Mikalenko was going to tuck in. I'm kind of a similar thinking of side. I think you might go back three again, actually, and just try and make the game difficult. And you're absolutely right what you said. Like, you could have gone in front at half-time against us at the weekend. You had 2 great counter-attacking opportunities with a bit more composure from Gray or Onana. You might have been ahead. And I think, yeah, I think sit in and make the game difficult. Do you look at this fixture, Sean, and think point is fine?
Our point would be fantastic at Newcastle, definitely.
We're kind of like this in this weird place where I think we'll beat everyone, but also I wouldn't be surprised if people, like any team scores against us because of the way we play, like, and counter-attacking teams especially. That's like our one weakness at the moment. Without a defensive midfield that has that recovery pace, that's the only thing that we're really missing out of that midfield, is someone like, when you play Bruno there, fantastic on the ball, fantastic at challenges, but like we are susceptible to counter-attacks. You saw that against Man U up until the last couple of minutes, obviously, when they kind of battered us a bit. But and watching that Everton game, that I think that would be the blueprint. They'll sit back and try and hit us on the counter-attack. It's not tactical masterclass for Frank, but that is the way to get at us. And you know, if you can get ahead, as you saw, like a couple of games, we can find it a bit tricky. We'll create the chances, but we ourselves are a bit, you know, profligate when it comes to taking them. Like, so if you're going to ask me, like, could we see another kind of Crystal Palace type result against Everton? I think they've got the players to put up a defensive rear guard against us.
Okay. What is Bruno's best position?
Wherever he fucking likes, mate, honestly.
Where do you want him to play? Do you want him as kind of a deep line until Shelby's back? Do you want him further forward?
I think so. We got some news in the last couple of days that St. Maximin's had an injury setback. So he's looking like a couple of more games he'll be out. And Isak looks like, well, Eddie Howe's actually come out and said it's probable he's not going to play this side of the World Cup. So when you've got Wilson, if he can stay fit, he needs to stay fit. You've got him, Almiron, who's obviously playing really well. Didn't have a great game against Man United. And then either Murphy or Fraser on the other side. You kind of need, I think you need Bruno in that slightly more advanced position just to give someone that can pass the ball to Wilson. Because like with those two flanking him, he's not going to get the service that he needs. So it's going to come from Bruno. I would love to see Shelby back in the team. Because I think it's going to be a Palace-type game. And if we'd have had Shelby in that game, I think we would have won it, even though we should have obviously won that game, but VAR decided not to. So I would say for this game in an A, Willock didn't play. He was ill against Man United, came on. So there's always a possibility he comes back in. Against those low-block teams, playing him as a six is fine. So really, like, honestly, it depends on, like, the players around him. But I think he's better as an eight in this team, but can play as a six.
A lot of people are looking for a FPL one-week punt, si. Can Bruno be it?
I'd say if you've not got three Newcastle players already, then that should be your priority. I've got Pope, Trippier and Wilson, so I've got no option. But I'd say midfield... Yeah, he did come off early against Man United with a bit of a knock, but I think that was more like fatigue and he'd been banged about a bit. So the question really is if you've got that third slot and you don't want to mess around with your strikers. And to be honest, I'm thinking of taking Wilson out after this weekend just because we haven't got those players around him to create chances for him. So yeah, I'd say Bruno, Almiron, good punts this week if you haven't got three Newcastle players already.
Bruno, 4.4 points per match. Almiron, 4.7. Why pay the extra?
So, is this an Almiron-type game? Why pay the extra? It depends, I guess, on what your strategy is. Are you looking for someone to dip in and dip out for the next couple of games? All right. I'd say Bruno, if you get him in, you're going to play him every week. You need to play him every week. Almiron's kind of on the cusp of someone that you could rotate in and out. Who do I think is going to score more between now and the end of the season?
Just to the World Cup.
Well, that's what I meant. Sorry. I'm thinking of like the end of the season, as in like, yeah, game week 16. Tricky one. Almiron has played so well, but he didn't have a great game against Man U. And you think if he starts to dip, he kind of knows that that's his place in the team now. It's locked. Like, there is no one that can really take his spot. I'd probably pay the extra for Bruno, to be honest. He's capable of doing something in any game.
Fixture run you've got is decent, side. Everton at home, Tottenham away, Villa at home, Southampton away, Chelsea at home. There's certainly points, and there's three what I would refer to as green fixtures in the two home games against Everton Villa and the trip to Southampton. And I've no doubt you'll give us a very difficult game at the weekend. And Chelsea in game week 16, you'll give a proper game as well. How interested should we be in Newcastle assets? And for those of us who've got double defensive, Pope and Trippier, you've obviously just kept a clean sheet at Old Trafford. Do you play them both at Tottenham?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, unless you've got, I don't know who your bench keeper is going to be, like, unless it's Kepa.
It's going to be Danny Ward for most people, isn't it?
Yeah, mine's Everson, who's not playing anyway. So, like, I would never play him over Pope. That's weird, actually, because I did actually try and play Everson one game when Leicester, they kept a clean sheet.
Leicester have Wolves away in game week 13.
Nah, I think you play both. And you just play him, you ride him out till the end of this part of the season. You're not benching Trippier ever. You like the man never blanks. Absolute machine. So you play.
I hope he does this weekend, mate.
No chance.
I hope you've just cursed it. But there's no holes.
He's gonna be in every team.
Are you a Mo Salah owner, Si?
Do you include the tinker I made this morning or not? I'm not at the moment, but I'm in the same debate as you, the place as you. I think I've got KDB in a Madison situation to sort out.
Salah will be in for me.
Hmm.
Those who are going against may well be looking at Newcastle for captaincy. What would you say to people who said, I want a captain Trippier or I want a captain Callum Wilson?
Best of a bad bunch, probably.
Okay.
Say. Trippier hasn't had a double-digit haul this season, has only blanked once. So it depends, I guess, what kind of manager you are and what your expectations are. I mean, if he's going to get a double-digit haul, this might be the game that he does it. Equally, he's so well-owned that FPL, the way it works, could get a red card, could blank easily or concede one and not get anything attacking-wise. Is he more likely to get points than Callum Wilson this game week? I'd probably say yes. Without question, he's more likely to get points. Is he likely to get more? Probably. I'm debating it. I don't know if I want to put the armband on.
So which Newcastle players have you got at the moment?
Pope, Trippier, Wilson. Okay. It's going to be a Newcastle player unless I get Salah in. And weirdly, even if I do get Salah in,
I'd want to do it because Erling Haaland doesn't have a fixture.
Yeah. Because I listened to your podcast before this one. And I was like, oh, fucking hell, James makes some good points, doesn't he? I don't want to get Salah in. I really don't. I have no intention to. But the fact that Madison's now out as well, and I've got that double hole. It's like I don't know what, and I can't get Saka in, and I can't get Foden in. They're the two players I want in those two positions, and I can't do it this week. So,
Sean, what new cards have you got?
I've got Trippier, Botman.
Okay. Any consideration on adding an attacking player for yourself?
Yeah, I very much want to get Bruno Gimenez in. Annoyingly, went up in price, didn't he? A couple of days ago, which has sort of given me a problem because I was going to bring him in. I had the money to bring him in for Bailey, and now I don't.
Bailey? Get Elmer on then instead, right?
So, yeah, I think Elmer on's done well in a short spell.
Say the line, James. Say the line.
Almageddon.
Almageddon.
Almiron or Bailey? Is that the title of this podcast?
Almiron or Bailey, honestly, would have to be Almiron. I think it's very legitimate to consider him at the moment. I think you raise a very good point about Gimenez as well. In terms of at that price, you do feel you need to play him every week, I think, or move him on. I think those who buy Gimenez will probably walk into game week 13 if he blanks against Everton. Fielder want to move it. I think once you've got Foden, Saka, got a fixture, if you can move it again, I think people will want to. Whereas Almiron can become the fifth mid, can't he, at that price? Yeah, or even a fourth with Pereira, if you want to go a bit heavier elsewhere, if you've got three premiums, for example, I think you could consider. Yeah, look, we've joked about Almiron on this podcast for years. I think he's been playing very well. He's probably scored the best goal of this season so far. I think you could punt it, but it will never not feel punty with Miguel Almiron for me.
See, I want Bruno as my fifth midfielder.
Okay.
So I want to play 3-5-2, and I see Bruno as being, because it always comes down to who's your strongest player, your fifth midfielder or your third forward. And I really like 3-5-2 with Bruno as my fifth, because I think the fella's class, and I think he's someone you can put in your team and you don't have to worry about fixtures, and you just play him. Now he's back week in, week out.
I think Shelby comes back into his team and he puts him closer to Callum Wilson because he knows he's got, I'm talking about Eddie Howe, he's got Murphy and Almiron, who are like headless fucking chickens. So I think it's a potentially like smart move. But I would only do it if I was gambling on that Shelby comes back in and starts playing. And there's no guarantee he does, because if a player's playing well and the team's doing well, doesn't tend to like mess about.
And also short of fitness, importantly. Yeah. So, I mean, he's not going to play this midweek, is he? He wouldn't get thrown in for Tottenham away. Then you've only got, three games before
unless he looks at the three. So Joel Linton missed a game recently. He's had a bit of knee trouble, but I don't think he had a strapping on against Man United. So I think that's fine. As I said, Willock kind of got a rest. He's coming off an illness. Bruno did come off a bit early, so I would definitely wait until the pre-match press conferences, if we're getting those at some point. But anyhow, never 100% honest on player fitness anyway. So I think there will be a little bit of rotation in there for the last couple of game weeks. I think Shelby will get some game time. The question is, it's unfortunate that he didn't come back a game earlier so we could see it against Man U. But I would be surprised if Shelby does start this game.
Sure. And is there a player price between Almiron and Gomez that we should be considering who plays for you in Anthony Gordon, who's 5.4 and back from suspension this week?
No. The only That's Everton emphatic. Player...
Moving on to the next question.
Well, you'd be more likely to consider a Woby. I can't believe I'm saying that.
I'm going to cancel you, mate.
I'm telling you. A Woby at 5.5 million. If we... as soon as Dom starts playing, week in, week out, he'll be a good asset, I'm telling you.
He can't be better than Damari Gray at the same price, mate. He can't be better than Gordon at 0.1 more.
He is. I'm telling you, he is. He'll get assists.
I don't know what to say.
Don't you need to score goals to get assists?
just remember.
All right, go on. Next. Come on, you've got to elaborate on that then. So you're saying you would go Iwobi over Gray or Gordon?
Without hesitation.
All right, you've got to tell me why, mate.
Oh, the lad is playing. I remember talking like last year, and you asked me the question because Iwobi was sort of getting spoken about a lot as, you know, playing a lot better, working a lot harder.
He has
playing
been.
He was playing in a right wing back role, and ever since we went out, we signed Onana, Garner, and now he's playing in the midfield three with license to get forward, and anything good that we do comes from him.
Jay, that sounds just like Joel Linton.
It is, yeah.
A winger that's kind of moved back into midfield. But to be fair, in Sean's defence, he has got, let's have a look, I think he's got like 10 more points than him this season.
Yeah, Webby's got 4 attacking returns somehow.
Yeah.
What about Onana himself then at 4.9? I described him last week as saying that he was giving me Suchik vibes.
Yeah, I described him as if he was a coin, he'd be a 50p.
Do you not think much of him then, Sean?
Oh, no, I think he's really, he's a really good prospect, but that's exactly what he is. I think he's going to be a hell of a player. But for FPL, not right now. I mean, I think he proved with the chance he got against Tottenham and anytime he gets a chance in a minute, he never looks like scoring. He's had some really good heading opportunities and he doesn't even threaten the keeper.
You know, we were talking about that stupid Twitter beef between Newcastle and Everton. I just remembered the pre-season thing, or the start of the season, was Onana versus Joel Linton, who's a better player. And some Everton fan put like this kind of video together of which players you'd pick from both teams. And Onana was in instead of Joel Linton, and that's what like sparked it all off.
To be fair, Si, you said about 5 minutes ago that Pope was better than Pickford, and my eyes saw differently watching England the other week.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah. Silence, mate. I think Jordan will be in goal for England in the
summer. Be. Yeah, Pope's fucked it now.
In seriousness, Sean, look, Newcastle away is obviously a tough game, as it would be, I think, for anybody at the moment. But the 4 fixtures afterwards, Palace at home, Fulham away, Leicester at home, Bournemouth away, is obviously a crucial period for the football club in terms of trying to pick up points. But also, I think we'll lean into people looking at Everton players, perhaps not for this week, but we know a lot of people are going to wildcard in game week 13. And I think from 13 to 16, I'd make a case to say you've got the best fixtures of the lot. Have you used wildcard, Sean?
Yeah, they have, yeah.
Okay, that fucks this up then. If you haven't, would you be considering Everton players on that wild card?
Yeah, which is not like me.
But no, it's not.
I would...
Alex Iwobi. Who else?
Connor Cody.
Why Cody? Over Tarkowski at quite a bit cheaper.
Because everything just seems to... When we're on the ball, everything seems to go through Cody. So I'd imagine for bonus points, he'll always be in with a shout. If we've got any chance of, you know, nicking a result, it's going to be a tight game. He's a threat from set pieces. His passing's fantastic. And because we're a counter-attacking team, we're always looking... Connor's always looking for that ball over the top to, you know, release the Marley Gray or Anthony Gordon. I think in pre-season, him and Tarkowski were always looking to find Dom. So I think Connor Cody and Iwobi, you know, certainly one of them could be a great little differential.
Why are you cold on Gordon?
It's just, I don't know. He just sort of, ever since the Chelsea thing, there just seems to be a different, he just seems to be a different lad, a different, he's got like this
so arrogant
swagger
it.
To him now.
Is he cutting his hair, yeah, or is it?
No, it's still jocking. Yeah, still Claire Balding.
It felt, Sean, like he started the season really well, despite that speculation.
Yeah, but the window was still open, wasn't it? And ever since the window was shut, he's been garbage.
Okay. I'll definitely take your word of it as someone who watches your team more than I do, but I think if I had to dive in for one of the midfielders, it would be him still. I think the capability's there.
He's definitely, you know, he's a promising player, but I think it's far too early for him. And obviously in fantasy football, you want returns, and the most nailed on player in our team, without a shadow of a doubt, to get returns is Iwobi. Comfortable.
Wow. I can't wait. I could definitely get Nico to clip this. The best bit is you're coming back on in here only in a couple of weeks, Sean. So we'll have to get... We're going to go on Alex Iwobi watch for the next few games, I think.
Those four fixtures, though. Palace at home, Fulham away, Leicester at home, Bournemouth away. Oof. Why don't you go away? You see, you thinking of going to Iwobi this week instead of Bruno? Might as well do it now if you're going to do it.
No, see, that's the thing. See, I wanted to... I was planning on it, but I'm just hesitant because, one, I don't want to jinx him.
No, you've got to buy him now. Fuck this, mate. You've got to buy him. I don't want to back it out.
No, I can't. Well, yeah.
No, you're right. You can't.
This is the title of the podcast. It's going to be clipped as a wavy. So, like, you're going to have to buy him.
You're definitely in the intro, Sean. There's no doubt about it, mate. What about Jordan Pickford? We've obviously mentioned him in passing with Pope. He's 4.5. He's got to be a great option for these four fixtures for wildcarders, isn't he?
I don't think he is, because it's always difficult to see us keeping a clean sheet. And it's annoying because
you've only conceded 10 goals, haven't you, this season?
Right, it's 11. Now.
I think it's 11 now. It's 11 now, isn't it?
Yeah, because of Højbjerg and he's just mastery.
He's just far too busy. I just wish we restricted shots a bit better.
That's what you want from a goalie, though.
No, I mean, I was going to say,
but
yeah,
you need
no,
clean it's, sheets, don't you?
It's the halfway house, though, isn't it? Because it's like when he does keep the clean sheet, you get like the 9 points against Liverpool. That's the point. And you only want two of them really in those four fixtures, and you're laughing and you're looking well in excess of 20 points and a better than 5 point per game average, which for a 4.5 keeper would be brilliant.
I just think that's why I mentioned Cody, because with Connor Cody, you've obviously got the chance that, so if the worst happens and you don't keep any clean sheets, you could get one or two attacking returns potentially. Obviously with Pickford, you're not going to get that, are you? And I suppose you could get save points, but I think if I was going to go with one, I'd go with Connor Cody. I mean, I see Palace scoring and I see Leicester scoring, so Newcastle will definitely score.
Okay. Simon, any Everton considerations for yourself?
I like those six. So I hadn't really thought about them in terms of like immediate transfers, obviously with this game. And I'll be completely honest, I hadn't looked beyond it, but how far is Patson off coming back?
So he's back doing individual training. So he won't play against Newcastle and he won't play at the weekend, but then he should be back after that.
No current plans on Everton players, but I mean, the reason I'm doing all right, pretty well in FPL this season is because I went hard on Newcastle and I've stayed there. And I'd say like for those fixtures, no one's going to go chasing Everton players really. And it might be an opportunity, good opportunity.
I think for those who specifically wildcard in this week, there must be some Everton consideration.
Yeah.
In wildcard in game week 13. There has to be. Jordan Pickford's got to be spoken about. I think Sean's right to obviously highlight Connor Cody. He's obviously tipped up Alex Iwobi, which I just must say, the views of our correspondents do not necessarily correlate with the views of Planet FPL. But Alex Iwobi...
Hey, he was wrong about Clint. Almiron. He was wrong Clint. About Almiron. He can be wrong about Iwobi.
What, 3 years later, Si? Yeah, all right, mate.
Clip that. Pod, mate. You laughed at me. You laughed at me. Now look at us.
Sean, I want that screenshot with Alex Iwobi and your teammate going into game week 13. This week, no, I'm not bothered. But going into 13, I want to see it, mate.
I'll send
you money.
You've just said, Clip.
I'll send you money.
I'll send you money.
I'd say out of those five fixtures, he's most likely to get points potentially this week on the counter attack, like I said. So you're going in this week.
Joe, I'm gonna bow to the superior knowledge. So I take it if you were wildcarding this weekend in 13 rather than now,
yep,
it would be free Newcastle as well. Would that still be the case even going into the Tottenham fixture?
No, it wouldn't be. If we had our full 11 and we actually got to see Saint-Maximin and Isak with Wilson as our top three, the front three, I'd play the three the whole season, like based on value for money and where we are in the league. But I just think we're one injury away from a key player to potentially stumbling through to the World Cup at the moment. I think we just need to like keep what we've got fit. Hopefully Shelby can be reintegrated because he does add something to our team. But if I was wild carding now, I wouldn't go three. I would potentially... I'd go Trippier. I wouldn't go Pope. And I'd maybe go Wilson this week with a view to thinking about having money in the bank to move him on.
Would you go Pickford over Pope?
For those fixtures, yeah, I would. I'd go Pickford and Kepa. I don't know what their rotation's like. Actually, to be fair, Kepa's fixtures are a bit...
rubbish.
Well, yeah, that's it. I mean, you could look at Kepa over a Pickford from 13, but Chelsea's four is United at home, Brighton away, Arsenal at home, and Newcastle away. It's a tough four for Chelsea.
Yeah, no, I'd go Pickford all day with those fixtures.
I think I'd arguably be inclined to agree. I think it's difficult to, other than obviously Chelsea being better defensively than Everton over the course of a season, I'm not sure that Chelsea would be better than Everton over those four fixtures. You've definitely got the benefit of that, Sean.
I've said it before. I think goal difference is a good indication of where teams are at. And Everton are -3. There's a lot worse teams.
Well, that at the weekend, and the second goal was only with 5 minutes to go. That's the first time we've lost by more than one this season, Sean.
Yeah, that's what you want. There aren't many teams like Everton in the league anymore.
Yeah, that was unlucky. That second goal, though. I mean, it deflected perfectly into the corner of the net, didn't it? Pickford was saving that before the little move.
Yeah, I can't argue that. The deflection certainly took it in. Okay, guys, brilliant stuff as ever. Sorry, I can't really concentrate. I'm still thinking about Alex Iwobi. Simon, let's do a correct score prediction for Wednesday night's game, please.
2-0. And if it's 2-1, Iwobi's definitely going to be involved.
Yeah, he will.
Sean, correct score prediction?
I hate doing this, but I'm going to have to say 2-0.
Iwobi double?
Yeah, no. It'll be
2-0. Two own goals.
2-0 to Newcastle. And the reason why I say that is because I made the mistake of looking at the head-to-head. We've scored in the last 11 games at St. James's Park.
Wow.
Consecutively. So we're just due a blank. Just numbers alone says we're due a blank. So
great stat, that.
I think it'll be 2-0, sadly.
I don't want to talk about the neighbours from down the road, sure, but do you have Salah in your FPL team?
We are the only team that have stopped them scoring, by the way, as some sort of like reply to people who think we're crap at the back. Other content providers.
That's true.
Yeah, they've scored in every single game in all competitions except at Goodison. And I don't have Salah.
You captain him?
I am absolutely captaining him, yes.
Okay. I won't ask you about captaining Newcastle players then.
Well, last thing for me, anyone that wants to captain Trippier, he did quote tweet the FPL Twitter account, which makes me think that he's going to be looking at this week, and he probably is going to know that he's quite highly captained. So motivated for the clean sheet and trying to get an attacking return. And
I really don't think that official FPL is going to influence the way Kieran Trippier plays football on Wednesday night.
Just saying. Players do look at these things.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to be thinking about it. I think he's still, if he's got a free kick on the edge of the box, he's not going to be thinking about FPL managers. I think he's going to be thinking the scoring in the same way, mate.
Yeah.
He's been an incredible asset this season. So consistent.
Would you captain a defender, though? Because I never have and I never will.
I'll be totally honest. I don't have Wilson. And if I wasn't buying Salah, I mean, my intention was actually to captain Maddison originally this week. Currently, before making a transfer, and we should say we're pre-recording this on Monday, I've got the captaincy bust on Kieran Trippier.
Oh, I don't like you.
I think 2-0 is a reasonable prediction, Sean, and I would go the same. I think that you've got to get Dom in, but it's more important that you get Dom in and get Dom right up front rather than, oh, he's fit, throw him in the team. I wouldn't even mind, I think, if Everton, even with these fixtures, used him as an impact substitute up until the World Cup and got him properly ready for December, because he can't keep having these setbacks. And you're better off going through the next 4 or 5 with him having cameo appearances than going through the next 4 months without him.
Yeah, that, absolutely.
Because, as you said, I think Maupay, I think you had to get someone, and I don't think it's Maupay's fault. I don't particularly dislike him as a footballer. It just does not fit with your style at all. And it almost looks like it gives a feeling like he's not there. Like Gray carried all the threat, as far as I was concerned, in terms of the counter-attack in the first half.
There really aren't that many strikers around either. So I actually didn't think that was a bad pickup from you personally.
No, I think it's reasonable. Something they had to buy someone. And that his winning goal against West Ham alone might be the difference come the end of the season, which was a great goal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
It would be interesting maybe to see them play together, i.e. Maupay with Calvert-Lewin at some point. Then he's got a partner. Someone can do his workload for him. At the moment, he just feels a bit isolated in the last couple of games I've seen, which, to be fair, with the opponents is also understandable. I think you've made a reasonable start, actually, Sean. And I think these next few fixtures give you scope for a little bit more.
They're the key, aren't they? It's how many points we get in the next 5.
Yeah, some big fixtures. I mean, you've got Wolves' first game afterwards on Boxing Day as well. Yeah. So there's a run of fixtures to certainly put points on the board. And Si, I think that your underlying numbers suggest that you're a team capable of potentially challenging for the top four even. But I think these injuries are possibly going to restrict you a little bit at the moment.
Yeah, I think we just need to get through until the World Cup, reassess, recharge, and hopefully get a few new players in the January transfer window.
Good luck to both of you. Si, where can everyone follow you on the bird at?
FPL Bibs.
Good man. And yourself, Sean?
@spirit_blues.
Brilliant stuff. Thanks very much, guys. Deadline stream 5 p.m. UK time today. Remember, it is a 6:30 UK time deadline for the games. No, it's not. It's a 6 p.m. Sorry, 6 p.m. UK time deadline. It's earlier than normal because the Brighton game kicks off at 7:30. I believe. Sky Fantasy Football tomorrow and another clash of correspondence for you on Thursday ahead of Game Week 13 with Johnny Pringle and Sam Murray. previewing Manchester City versus Brighton. Please note that it will be out later than normal. We won't be recording until late afternoon. The YouTube video might not go out until after the Thursday night games. But just leaves me to say thanks again to Sia and to Sean. Good luck this weekend, gents. Cue music, please, Man Shop.
Fantasy Football Show.